The tenth story, A Young Outlaw. Jonathan and David said goodbye, and after he had learned that the king would take his life if he stayed longer, David fled from the court of Saul into the wilderness. As he wandered there, tired and hungry, his mind went back over the last few years to the days when he had roamed over the green meadows and by the shining waters, singing to his harp and tending his father's sheep in Bethlehem. He recalled the visit of Samuel to his father's house when the old white-haired prophet had chosen him from among all his father's sons and had anointed his head with oil. He had gone to Saul's court, but had had to go back home and stay with his father while the older sons went to fight, and when he went later to the king's camp, he had grown so that Saul did not know him. But he had killed Goliath, and since then he had gone with Saul wherever he went. He loved the king, and the king loved him, and David knew that Saul's unhappiness was due as much to his love for him as it was to fear or jealousy. It is not hard to understand how the king felt. He had sons of his own, and he wanted them to reign after him. When he saw how all the people loved David and followed after him, and especially when he saw that Jonathan loved him so much that he was willing to let David be king instead of himself if the people wished it, Saul was filled with anger and alarm. So it was not surprising that the king, although he loved David dearly, felt that he must be gotten out of the way. So David took refuge in the wilderness, and like Robin Hood of England, became an outlaw. He knew he must keep out of sight for a while and out of reach of the king's displeasure. As he wandered in the wilderness, he arrived one day, weary and half-starved, at a village called Nob, where at that time the ark was being kept, watched over by the priests. He went to the house of the chief priest and asked for bread and a sword. But the priest said, "There is no bread, save that which is on the holy table." Now David did not dare to tell the priest that he was fleeing for his life from the wrath of the king. He knew, too, that none but the priests were permitted to eat of the bread for the holy table, the shoe bread as it was called. So he said, "I am on the king's business. Give me of the bread." The priest gave him 5 loaves. Then David said once more, "I am on the king's business. I have no sword. Give me one." "There's no sword here save that with which David slew the giant Goliath of Gath. It is wrapped in a cloth." "Give it to me," said David, and the priest did as he was told. There was at Nob a man by the name of Doeg. He was the king's chief herdsman, and when he saw what had been done, that the priest had given David the shewbread and the sword of Goliath, he went straightway and told Saul. The king was very angry and commanded his soldiers that they should go to Nob and kill all the priests. At first he could not find anyone to do this. Not a man was willing to lift a hand against the priests, but finally Doeg did it himself. He fell upon them with such cruel fury that only one escaped. This was Abiathar. He fled and joined David and became one of his band. After the death of the priests, David realized that he was not safe at Nob any longer, so he went to his father's house in Bethlehem. He told them of the king's anger, how he had not only threatened but had twice tried to take his life with his own hand. David thought his father and mother were no longer safe in Bethlehem, so he took them over into the land of Moab, where his beautiful grandmother, Ruth, had lived, and where he still had many kinsmen. They crossed the Jordan, and David put his father and mother under the protection of the king of Moab. David took refuge in the cave of Adullam, just across the border of Philistia. Here a band of about 400 men gathered about him. One day, Abiathar, the priest who had escaped the slaughter at Nob, came to David and told him what Doeg had done. He said that Doeg had gone to Saul and had said, "I saw the son of Jesse come to Nob, and the chief priest gave him the shewbread and the sword of Goliath." Then Saul had sent for the chief priest and said, "Why hast thou conspired against me with the son of Jesse? Why hast thou given him a sword to slay me?" The chief priest answered, "Well, who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, thy son-in-law? Who is so honorable in thy house? I knew nothing of trouble between thee and him." When the king heard these words, his old madness came upon him again, and he gave orders that not only the chief priest, but all the others as well should be put to death. "Behold, it is only I that have escaped," said Abiathar. David's band of outlaws grew larger and stronger. Some of them had joined him because they were in distress, some because they were in debt, some only because they were discontented and were tired of staying at home. They were a lawless crowd, and to tell the truth, were not very welcome anywhere. They were wild and hardy. They lived in the open, under the blue skies. They fought and were fought by the Philistines. They chased and were chased by the Amalekites. Some good things they did, however. They defended the shepherds from the attacks of the brigands, but they made the sheep masters pay for their protection by giving them food and clothing. Among the hills, a little to the south, in the land of Israel, was a very fine farm. It was owned by a man named Nabal. The land was well kept, and the harvests were great. Nabal had large flocks and herds. He had 3,000 sheep and more than 1,000 goats. His pastures reached as far as the eye could see, and he had to keep many shepherds out on the hills to watch over his sheep and his goats. But Nabal was a bad man. He was stingy and had a mean and sullen temper. Had it not been for Abigail, his beautiful wife, who was as generous as she was good, Nabal would have had a hard time getting anybody to work for him. One day they were shearing the sheep on Nabal's farm. The shepherds were contented and merry. They knew that Abigail and her servants had made a feast for them and had prepared good things for them to eat and drink, so the sheep shearing went merrily on. Suddenly they looked up from their work and were surprised and startled at the sight which met their eyes. They saw 10 men marching toward them, two by two, keeping step, just as soldiers march. They came swinging along the dusty road, headed by Abishai and Benaiah. They were a band of lusty, hardy outlaws, and they said they had come with a message from their captain, David. "Peace be unto thee and to thy house," they said to Nabal, "and unto all thy great possessions. We have protected thy shepherds in the fields, as they will tell you. We have driven off the Amalekites who came to steal thy sheep. Remember us now, therefore, and send a gift to David, the son of Jesse." Nabal became very angry. He lost his temper completely, and he said, "And who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? David is but a servant who broke away from his master. There be many such in these days. Shall I then take my bread and my wine and the meat I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I not know whence they be? Begone, I will give thee naught." The men listened without saying a word till Nabal had finished. Then they turned silently and took their way back by the same road over which they had come. The shepherds who had paused in their sheep shearing while the men and Nabal talked watched them till they went out of sight over the hills. Then one of the shepherds slipped away and ran into the great house. "Mistress Abigail," he whispered, "an evil thing has happened. A company of men were sent by David to salute our master and bring him greeting, but he railed upon them and sent them away empty. Thou knowest how good David and his men have been to your shepherds. We have never been hurt, neither have our sheep or goats been stolen since we have been in the fields. They have protected us by night and by day. Thou knowest how strong are David and his men. He will come and destroy us. What shall we do? Not one of us dares to speak to the master, Nabal." Abigail knew that the shepherd was right, so she gathered together 200 loaves of the bread they had made for the shepherds and took 2 skin bottles of wine, 5 sheep, which had been dressed for roasting, 5 baskets of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cans of figs. These she packed on the backs of the asses and said to her servants, "Go on with these before me. I will follow after you." Then, without a word to Nabal, she went forth to meet David. When they reached the top of the hill, they could see at the bottom a cloud of flying dust. It was David and his men. When the men had carried back Nabal's ugly words to David, he was very angry. He set forth with his men, and now they were hastening with all speed to punish him. When Abigail saw David, she alighted and bowed low before him. "Let not my lord take notice of my husband," she said. "He is a willful and foolish man. See, I have brought you a gift, all that you can wish. Do not therefore shed blood without a cause. I know that my Lord fights the battles of the Lord and does no evil. The Lord will surely make him victorious over all the land, and when it shall come to pass that my Lord is ruler over Israel, he will then be glad that he has shed no blood in revenge or without cause. David's anger was soothed when he saw this beautiful woman and heard her words. He knew that she spoke truly, so he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou who hast kept me this day from shedding blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. Except thou hadst come out to meet me, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before the morning light both Nabal and all that belonged to him should have perished. Abigail presented her gift, and David accepted it. Then he said, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy gift. Return now, therefore, in peace to thy house. Abigail and her servants went back home. David looked after them till they were out of sight. Then he and his men turned and went the other way. When Abigail reached the house, she found Nabal and the shepherds sitting down to the feast which had been prepared for them. They were eating and drinking and singing and making merry. Now Nabal, in addition to his ugly, sullen temper, had another very bad fault. He drank too much wine. When Abigail came in, she found her husband drunk. He was laughing and making merry after the foolish manner of drunken men, and she knew it would be useless to tell him then what she had done. But in the morning, when he was sober again, she said to him, Your life was in great danger yesterday, and I saved you. David was on his way here with 400 men to kill you and all of us. But I went to meet him, and I took him the gift you had denied him, and so he turned back. Nabal was filled with terror when he heard what his wife had said. His fright and the liquor he had drunk brought on a sickness. He went to bed and never got up again. In 10 days, he was dead. After Nabal was dead, David thought much about Abigail, his beautiful wife. His own wife, Michal, had been taken away from him by Saul, her father, and had been given to another man. Besides, it was the custom in those days for a man to have more than one wife if he wished. So David sent a messenger to Abigail, asking her to be his wife. She remembered his kindness to her when she had gone out to meet him, so she consented. And when David gave up his life as an outlaw and went to be king in Hebron, he took Abigail with him. One day, while David was still leading the life of an outlaw, their band was attacked by the Philistines, and they had a great fight. David looked out across the valley, over the heads of the struggling soldiers, and he could see in the distance the green trees in the hills of Bethlehem, the little town where he was born. He was suddenly seized with homesickness. In the heat and the dust of the battle, he became very thirsty, and he said, as though speaking to himself, Oh, that someone would bring me a drink of water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem. His nephew, Abishai, heard the words. He said nothing to David, but he got two other soldiers who loved David very much, and at the risk of their lives, they broke through the Philistine lines, dodging their arrows and spears until they came to Bethlehem. David was deeply touched when they brought the water to him, but when he learned at how great a sacrifice it had been obtained, he would not drink. He looked sadly at the water he had so longed and thirsted for. Then silently he poured it out upon the ground.